We are Scott and Anita Lansing, and we want to share our Radical Church story. Before we came to Radical Church, we were in a season when we were searching for a new church home. We really wanted a church that was in our community, but one that was outreach-oriented, that wasn't just all about the church, but that was reaching outside the walls of the church. We decided we were going to visit Radical Church. That Sunday morning, I was sitting on our back porch reading my Bible, and I felt the Holy Spirit speak to me. Kind of strange, but this is what I heard was, you're going to go to Radical Church this morning, and the pastor is going to preach on the scripture you've been reading this morning, and you're going to know that you're in the right place.
And he told me that, and we went to church, and as soon as we walked in the door and worship was already going on, we slid into our chairs, and our son immediately said, "This is our church." And as a teenager, you really want your child to want to go to church. And at that moment, before we heard anything, we knew that we would be attending Radical just to see him grow in the Lord. But it didn't end there, because Trevor preached and spoke to our hearts.
And he preached on the very scripture that I had read that morning. And Anita and I and Nathan just looked at each other, and we were amazed. We shouldn't have been surprised, but it was just an amazing moment for us of confirmation that we were in the right place. Really, from there, it was a relationship with people of Radical Church, just genuine and authentic people, people just living life together. It was later that we were asked to lead a small group, and we welcomed folks into our home.
And that was amazing, because we really didn't know anyone who was going to be attending. And from the very first day, everyone was so open and so real and so vulnerable that it had like an immediate connection of relationships. And everyone began messaging each other every day. And one of the new believers, Scott, said, "We need to be writing his down and make a devotional out of it, because God was just moving so much." And it wasn't what we were doing, it was just watching the Lord move. And that is what we've seen here at Radical this whole time, is it's not any one person doing things, that God is moving through this church in amazing ways. And we want to invest our time, our energy, and our finances in a place where we know that there is fruit coming from it, that we know that people's lives are being changed. And this is where we found that. Radical is the place where it's worth the investment.
I can remember at one point just seeing the growth in Radical Church, even from Negley. We started going to Radical, I guess they were just celebrating 1 year anniversary. And seeing that growth, just the number of people that were coming, the relationships that were being built, and just the vision that Pastor Trevor began to share. And he came to me, and we started talking about, he had had these conversations with others as well, about, you know, having a home. We were in the Negley Elementary, we were at Wallace Middle School, and just the desire to have a place to have as a home. And so he shared with me about this space and the space that we're in right now. And he asked me if I'd be willing to help head up the construction. And that was an exciting season for Radical Church. I can remember coming in with a group of men, meeting them here, I think that first Saturday that we were gonna do some demo. And I don't know, a dozen or more guys showed up. And it was just exciting, because these guys, they had skin in the game. It wasn't just a place that they showed up to worship in. It was a place they came and had a hand in making this place what it is today. And it's so funny looking back, you know, a few years ago, to see this space look so big. And we were so excited about having space, but it filled up really quick. I can remember very shortly, I think from the get-go, we went to two services, and then to three, and then to four. And it's just grown and grown and grown. But it was so exciting to see God's people coming together for a purpose and making this place a home. And that's been exciting to watch. Just a few weeks ago, I had the opportunity to have lunch with Pastor Trevor, and afterwards we went over to the property and sat at the gate, and he began to just share more details about the vision for the church. And I tell you, it's so exciting every time I hear Pastor Trevor talk about it. We really have an anticipation of what God is going to do in this next season. Hearing Pastor Trevor talk about the altar initiative, what a place to start. And, being there on the property with Pastor Trevor and looking at those pile of rocks and hearing him talk about that, and just the passion and how the Lord has spoken to him, it's just exciting. And that's something that we really want to be a part of. The question for us and for you is, how much of a part do you want to be in what God's doing? And we're all in.
Come on, can we give it up for Scott and Anita Lansing? They're an incredible family. And you know what he doesn't say in the video is that Scott also has a nonprofit called Building Compassion. And actually what he does is him and his team, they go around building homes and building ramps for people that are in need, for building all kinds of construction projects, specifically even for retired ministers. And so they just give back and they give back and they give back. They're an incredible family. And Scott did. This building would not be here if it was not for Scott Lansing. So can we really give it up for them and let them hear it today? Come on. We love you, Scott. We love you, Anita. And, you know, there's just some amazing people that have really helped through the process over the years. And I do want to honor somebody else that is here today all the way from San Antonio, and that is Pastor Matt Mason and his daughter Ainsley that decided to come with us today. They are from Community Bible Church, and if you don't already know, we are a part of the Community Bible Church family of churches, okay? So if you don't know them, they're an amazing church down in San Antonio, Texas. Pastor Tim was on their team for a while as well, and we got a lot of love for our friends at CBC. So can we welcome Pastor Matt and his daughter Ainsley today for being with us, encouraging us? It really is a brotherhood, and we had lunch the other day, and man, it's so cool to just be able to. How many of y'all know that every pastor needs a pastor? Come on. Every pastor needs another pastor as a friend. Come on. And it's great to be able to have guys that we can really just get together and be real with one another. And it's such a great brotherhood. So I honor you and thank you for being with us today. So, man, you know, we've talked about a lot of altars over the last few weeks. We started this altar series. And we started with Abraham's altar. If you'll remember, we talked about generational blessing versus generational bondage. And the point of the message was simply that if bondage can be passed down from one generation to the next, how much more can the blessing of God be passed down from one generation to the next? Come on, somebody say amen today. How much more? So we talked about that. And we talked about Jacob's altar. And he built an altar, and then he pitched his tents, and then he dug a well. And what was the point of that message, right? It's that you have to build the altar when? You have to build it first. Come on, somebody. You got to build that altar first. You got to fix your eyes on Jesus first, and then everything else will flow down from there. If you build that altar first and you put your eyes on Jesus, come on, how many of y'all know he's going to take care of your family as you pitch your tents? And how many of you know that he's going to bless your work as you put your hands and you start digging the wells? Come on, you got to build the altar first. That was Jacob's altar. Then we looked at David's altar, the altar of sacrifice. Then he buys this land, and God tells him to build an altar on this land. But David was the king. He could have just taken the land from this farmer. He could have just taken the land from this man. And in fact, he offers it to King David. He says, you can have it. It's yours. But David says, no. I'm not going to take something from you, and I'm not going to offer something up to God that costs me nothing. I'm not going to do it. And the point is that if a sacrifice doesn't hurt, then it isn't really a sacrifice. If it didn't really mean anything to me, if it was just given to me, if it didn't mean something to me, why would it mean anything to God, right? With sacrifice, it's got to stretch our faith. It's got to grow us a little bit. Come on. And so we talked about, Pastor Rachel shared her amazing story about God bringing them all the way from California all the way to Texas and just moving on faith. She talked about Gideon's altar and how they just had to have this radical faith that God was going to do more with less. Oh my goodness, it was amazing. But can I encourage somebody today? There's an altar that we haven't talked about yet. There's one more altar, and that is found in the New Testament. It's Romans 12:1. It says this, "Therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship." Let's pray. Father, thank you for this day today. Thank you for this amazing church family that you blessed us with. God, I pray that you would help us to present ourselves as a living sacrifice today before you. We love you. In Jesus' name, somebody say, amen. The best thing that you can do, and I just want to encourage you with this today, that the best thing that you can offer to God is not your money. It's not just your time, and you can serve and you can give and you can help the poor and help the homeless. You can do all of these amazing things, but you know what the number one thing that God wants you to give is? It is you. He wants you to give him your life. He wants him to give yourself and to put yourself on the altar. What does it say? That we got to offer ourselves up onto the altar as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. In fact, it says that this is actually how we worship. When we offer ourselves up to God. So give your life to Jesus. Abraham, he puts his son on the altar, right? Up on the mountainside. He puts his son up there onto the altar, and yet God provides another way. You know the story where he has a ram comes, has his horns kind of stuck in the bush, and the angel of the Lord says, no, don't sacrifice him. No, use this instead. And Abraham says, "Ooh, Lord, thank you. All right, here we go, and we're going to do that instead." And so he puts this ram on the altar, but Abraham had to put his son up there. He tied him up and everything. And what is that? It's a foreshadowing of what God would eventually do with his son, Jesus, by putting his one and only son on the altar and ultimately, what, on the cross for you and for me. And so God puts his son on the altar, puts him on the cross out of his love for us. And ultimately, what is that? It's Jesus is then foreshadowing us in what we are supposed to do later on. How many of you know that when we follow Jesus, it means a lot more than just saying a prayer, right? Following Jesus means something entirely different. It actually has a cost to follow Jesus, right? You gotta count the cost. There's a cost to being a follower of God. And so we actually have to put ourselves on the altar. And what does the Bible say? It says that we have to pick up our cross and follow him, amen? We gotta pick up our cross and follow Jesus. Jesus, though, he didn't just die for us, but he also lived for us, amen? Like, we talk a lot about how he died for us, but he actually gave his life while he was here. He gave everything that he had, all of his energy, all of his time, all of his life to pour out and to invest and to love into other people and to heal other people and to help other people. He didn't just die on the cross for us, but he really did live for us, amen? That's what it's all about. So we gotta build the altar of myself, and I'm going to give my life to God. That's what it's about. So in 1 Chronicles 28, David, he wants to build a temple. And he says, "I have it in my heart to build a place for God to call home." And so he has the plans drawn up. He's got the blueprints ready to go, written out. But then God says he isn't going to be the one to build it. His son Solomon is going to be the one to actually build the temple. And so David gives Solomon all of the building plans. And then we pick up in 1 Chronicles 29. Now, this is a message, by the way, if you were here on Friday night, we had some of our leaders come on Friday night. And as you could see, some of the altar was already built. And then first service laid some of their rocks down as well. But we came and had this time as leaders and as staff, key volunteers, different people that came and built the altar first. So if you're a leader, you've already heard this message, okay? I know you heard it on Friday night, but we're gonna get to celebrate here in just a minute, okay? So hang tight with me, all right? Here we go. The people need to hear it. 1 Chronicles 29. Then King David said to the whole assembly, "My son Solomon, the one whom God has chosen, is young and inexperienced. The task is great because this palatial structure is not for man, but for the Lord God. With all my resources, I have provided for the temple of my God. Gold for the gold work, silver for the silver, bronze for the bronze, iron for the iron, wood for the wood, as well as onyx for the settings, turquoise, stones of various colors, and all kinds of fine stone and marble. all of these in large quantities. Besides, in my devotion to the temple of my God, I now give my personal treasures of gold and silver for the temple of my God, over and above. Somebody say over and above. Everything I've provided for this holy temple. Now, I want to stop for just a second there, because what it's saying is that David and them had been saving. They had been building up the national treasury and storehouse in order to give toward this project. And so he says, initially, I give out of the nation of Israel, right? I give out of this. But now I'm going to give out of my personal storehouse and my personal treasures above and beyond even what is required of me to give. So it's two different things that we're seeing here. He says 3,000 talents of gold, 7,000 talents of refined silver for the overlaying of the walls of the buildings, for the gold work and the silver work, for all the work to be done by the craftsmen. And then he asks a question right here. He says, now, who is willing to consecrate themselves to the Lord today? He says, I've given first today. I'm telling you what I'm giving. I'm going to be real upfront about it. This is exactly how much I'm giving to this project, right? And this is what I'm doing. Now, who's with me? And there's this idea that leaders have to give first. And then he asks the question now, who is willing to consecrate themselves to the Lord today? And this is what happens. Check this out. It says in verse 7, they gave toward the work on the temple of God 5,000 talents, 10,000 derricks of gold, 10,000 talents of silver, 18,000 talents of bronze, and 100,000 talents of iron. Anyone who had precious stones gave them to the treasury of the temple of the Lord in the custody of Jeiel the Gershonite. And then the people rejoiced at the willing response of their leaders, for they had given freely and wholeheartedly to the Lord. And David the king also rejoiced greatly. So, like I said, you can see these rocks up here on the altar. And on Friday, we invited some of our leaders to come and give their offering first. And it's because of this principle that we find here in 1 Chronicles 29, that leaders lay first. Leaders go first, but ultimately leaders lay first. They lay their lives down first. They're on the front lines and they give their offering first. And it starts with me and Lindsay. How many of y'all know it's got to start with me? It's got to start at the top and us and how we give and how we exhibit generosity throughout our church. But then it goes through our staff and our leaders and through our whole church. And that's all of us here today. And I believe that our leaders on Friday night absolutely set the tone for what's happening here today. Come on. We got some good leaders in our church, and I believe God's going to do something great here today. So I want the people, I want all of us. It says that they celebrated that the leaders gave willingly, right? And so I want to give all of us an opportunity to celebrate the fact that our leaders have given willingly to God today. So who's ready to celebrate and hear about what happened on Friday night? Come on, now, here we go. I'm excited. I want to be able to give you our updated number so far. You know, our goal is $1 million. That's what we're trying to raise over 2 years. And what we really would love to do is try to raise $500,000 within the first 90 days. In order to put us in a good position to purchase and to build on this property that we believe God has for us. And so I'm excited to announce that we have already got $750,000 committed just on Friday night with some leaders who believe in the vision. Come on, can we give God some praise in the house today? God has been good. God has been faithful to do above and beyond all we can ask, think, or imagine. Come on, $100,000 has already been given as of today. Come on, there it is. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. Man, that's you. That's our leaders, man. There's some leaders who are bought into the vision, and I want you, the people, to be able to celebrate with us. Oh, man, it said that David the king rejoiced greatly, too. How many of y'all know I rejoiced greatly, okay? So it's crazy. So we did this on Friday night, and we went to the staff. I took them to Waffle House right after that. Come on, Matt loves some Waffle House. It was 11 o'clock at night. How many of y'all know the Waffle House hits different at 11 p.m.? You know what I'm saying? Breakfast at that hour, oh, Lord Jesus, it's just something different about it. And so we went to Waffle House because we couldn't wait until yesterday. We were going to count everything on Saturday. We couldn't wait. And so we had some people who come and counted the money and counted the offerings and the commitments and all stuff and enter in all the information. We went to Waffle House. We come back, and then Jessica, my admin, was able to give me the number, and the whole staff is here at 11 o'clock. It was crazy. And I was able to tell everybody the number of what we've raised so far and the commitments that we've had. And we were just able to celebrate all together. Man, God's been good. God's been faithful. It's amazing. Can't wait for Sunday. And it's just amazing to see what God has done. And so I just want to celebrate, and I want to ask that you would follow the leaders today in the vision. The people followed their leaders in the vision that God had given them. And I just want to remind you today, if you don't know what we're doing today, we are building an altar of remembrance. Just like in Joshua chapter 4, you know what he says? They get through the Jordan River. They get to the other side of the river. And then he says, take 12 stones out from the middle of the river, and we're going to put them there. And when your kids and your grandkids ask one day, hey, Dad, hey, Grandpa, what do all these stones on the side of the river mean? You know, when the kids are out there just like splish splashing in the Jordan River and like taking a bath or whatever it is they do in the Jordan, right? When your kids are hanging out and they go and they see all these rocks, they're going to ask one day, hey, Dad, what are all these rocks doing here? Like, what's this big structure thing? You're going to be able to say, son, let me tell you about a time when my God was faithful. Let me tell you about a time that my God parted the Red Sea for your granddaddy. Come on now. And then he came here and we came up to this river and God parted these waters and got us into the promised land. And then let me tell you about a time when God was faithful in the promised land and gave us the land that he had promised us, that the walls of Jericho fell down and God has given us rest in the place that he has given us. Let me tell you about that time, son. And he's going to be like, why are you yelling at me? Jeez, Dad, anyway, I'm messing with you. Golly, Dad, relax. I get a little excited sometimes. But listen, that's what it's all about, building an altar of remembrance, thanking God for the past, what he's done for us, but then also thanking God, knowing that if he did it then, he can do it now, and he can do it tomorrow. Amen? And so we're building this altar of remembrance. God has been so, so good to us. He's been good to this church. He's been good to my family. I believe he's been good to your family. And man, I believe that he's got some more good things for you and your family. Today isn't just about a church building. It's not just about an offering. But today is really about you. It's about your family and what God has for you. And we give back just with a heart full of thanks. It's crazy. We had a, on Friday night, there was a leader. And she came up to me afterwards. And she said, I have never been excited to give money before until tonight, and it is your fault, Pastor. I said, I'm so sorry. She said, no, it's great. It's been amazing. I've never had a smile on my face as I've done this before. She said, it's just a beautiful, beautiful thing that we're getting to do together. And this is the same sentiment that David carries in verse 14. Check this out. He says, but who am I? Who are my people that we should be able to give as generously as this? David has such a thankful and grateful heart. He's not complaining. And a lot of times that's what we do. It's like, I don't want to give. I want to keep what's mine. But Jesus said, what? It's better to give than it is to receive, right? I think Jesus knows a little bit of something. I think we might need to listen to what Jesus says, not what we think and what our human nature says. But Jesus understands this, and David gets this. He says, it's so much better to give, and God, thank you so much that I get to give today. He says, everything comes from you. And we have given you only what comes from your hand. We're foreigners and strangers in your sight, as were all our ancestors. Our days on earth are like a shadow without hope. Lord our God, all this abundance that we have provided for building you a temple for your holy name comes from your hand. And all of it belongs to you. I know, my God, that you test the heart and are pleased with integrity. All these things I've given willingly and with honest intent. And now I have seen with joy how willingly your people who are here have given to you. What is he saying? He's saying, who are we that we get to be so generous? Thank God that we get to do this. He isn't complaining. He's honored. And I'm so grateful that we have some amazing people in our church that have this same mindset, that are honored to give above and beyond in order to fulfill the vision that God has given us. Listen, at the end of the day, we got to understand, people, that everything we have comes from God. Amen? Everything that you have, your home, your cars, your family, your job, everything that we have comes from the Lord. And so what we're doing right now is we just say, hey, God, everything I have, it all comes from you. Everything that we give here today, it's just something that you've given me. All I'm doing is just giving it back to you, God, and saying thank you for what you've done in my life. God, thank you for saving me. Thank you for changing me. I say it every week, y'all. We give because we give because he gave, right? We give because he gave. It's not give to get. I'm not going to put anything on this altar with an expectation of anything in return. If I do that, it's not really a gift, is it? It's not really generosity if I'm thinking it's coming back to me. But listen, I give strictly because he gave first. We love because he first loved us, right? God's already done it. I'm just following Jesus in it. And I want to tell you about a couple of people who have this same mindset, who are incredible leaders in different ways, but there's one that really stands out in particular. And I hope she's watching this morning, but her name is Linda. And if you know Linda, you love Linda. Come on now. And those of you that know her, and she is a day one for us at Radical Church. If y'all remember, we started this church in 2020. We had about 50 people that were on the team to help launch the church. Linda and her friend Donna found out about it. Now, Linda is 70, 75 years old, okay? And her friend Donna is about the same. And they call themselves the sexy white-haired greeters, okay? Come on now, somebody. I didn't give them the name. They gave themselves the name, okay? So they claim it, and they'll take it. And so they would greet people at the doors of Negley Elementary together as we launched the church, and Donna moved back up to Kansas City. But if you know Linda, she loves to wear purple, and she has white hair but would have purple, and she always dresses up. She always looks the part. She looks beautiful every single time she's here. And Linda called me a couple months ago, and man, I cried on Friday night, and I was really trying not to. And she said, "Hey, I'm not doing too well, Pastor. I'm back in the hospital." She had had a couple of different times over the last just 3 or 4 years. She's had cancer twice and beat it. Chemo, radiation, all these different things that she's gone through, surgeries. And she said, "I'm back in the hospital, you know," and I said, "I'll be right there." So I went over here to the hospital and visited with her, and she said, "You know, Pastor, I think this might be the thing that takes me out." She's very discouraged. And I said, "Well, let's pray against that, you know," and it's tough. You don't know how to pray sometimes in moments like that, but I just, first thing is let's pray against it, and let's pray for life in the name of Jesus, right? And so we pray, and a few weeks later, she calls me, though, and I'm just out working with my dad, doing a few things, and get the call, and she says, "Hey, I just wanted to let you know that I've made a decision." I said, "Well, what's that, Linda?" And she said, "I don't want to have any more surgeries, but the cancer's back. I don't want to do chemo again. I don't want to do radiation. I don't want to have another surgery. I'm done. And I hurt all the time. Even when I'm healthy, I'm hurting. And I've just made a decision. I don't want to do this anymore. I miss my husband. He's been gone for a few years now. And Pastor, I know where I'm going. I'm okay. So I've just made the decision that I'm going to go into hospice and be in a facility that they can kind of take care of me, and we'll just kind of see where it goes from there." And I'm just crying on the phone with Linda because, you know, I love her so much. And I was like, "Linda, I respect your decision. I understand." And that had to be a really hard decision to make. She said, "You know what, Pastor? It really wasn't. Because I know where I'm going. I miss my husband, but I'm good. I got a good relationship with the Lord. I'll be okay. I'll be all right." And then she said, "Hey, have you guys bought that property yet?" I said, no, ma'am, we haven't. And she said, "Well, here's the deal. I know that you've told me that one day you're going to have everybody put rocks to build an altar on that stage at the church." She said, "And I know that I will not be able to be there on the day that you do that. So if I could ask one thing," she said, "would you grab the first stone for me? And when you put yours up there, would you put yours right next to, or would you put mine right next to it? Because I want to be the very first one to have my stone there." She said, "Put my name on it, put it down." I said, "Yes, ma'am, I will. I promise. I promise you I will." And so on Friday night, you know, we came together, and my stone, I laid mine first, as David did. He said, "I will lay mine first, lay my offering down. Now who will consecrate themselves to the Lord?" Well, Linda's already done that. And so I laid hers right next to mine. You can't see it now because our amazing people have already put them all on top. But Linda's is down there as a part of the foundation of this altar that we are building together today. Here's the deal. She has no reason to give towards this. She will probably never see this building be built. Her kids don't come to this church. Her grandkids don't come to this church. But here's the deal. She is doing this not because of what she can get out of it, but because she understands it's all about Jesus. Amen? It's all about giving back to God for what he's given to her. It's all about reaching the next generation. It's all about reaching the kids that have yet to find and follow Jesus. She understands it's not about me and what I can get out of it, but I just want to give because God has given to me, because I know where I'm going when I leave this earth. And that's why she's given towards it. So Linda, today, if you are watching online, whenever you watch this, I want to honor you and thank you for being a part of this church since the very beginning. And church, I'd invite you, if you can, come on. Would you please give her some love? We love you. We love you so much. Another lady, she is from Oklahoma. When we were very first starting to launch this church, you know, you have to have money and people to launch a church. You just got to have those two things. And so I was very nervous, but I went to go ask this lady who went to our church in Oklahoma up there, hey, would you be willing to partner with us and give financially towards us launching this church? This is back in 2018, 2 years before we even started the church. And I was sitting with her in a Cheddar's in Oklahoma City, and she had a big old smile on her face. And she looked over at me, and she said, I'm going to give right now. And I said, oh, wow, okay. And so she pulls out her checkbook and writes the first check for $1,000 to Radical Church. I think I barely had just gotten the bank account set up, you know? And I thought, $1,000, what? You know, like I was so stoked at the time. I was so pumped. And, you know, it was the first time that anybody had ever given to the church. And she was here on the 17th when we made the announcement that we were going to build the altar together. She said, I want to come down and I want to be a part of this service. And then took them to dinner and to lunch the next day. And she said, you know what, Pastor, I want to make sure that you know this, that off the bat, I want to be one of the first to commit. And we're going to commit at least $50,000 to helping to build this house and to build this altar. Come on, let's give it up for God. God is good. He's faithful. She don't even go. She watches online every Sunday. She's probably watching right now, you know, but like, she's not ever going to actually be in the building. But why is she doing that? Because she knows that God is moving in this church. She watches every Sunday because she sees the 300 people that have been saved this year. And she says, I want to be a part of that vision. I can get behind that. Come on, our youth students, they put some little rocks that we... Pastor Rachel had our youth students, 6th to 12th grade, give their offerings on Wednesday night. They raised over $1,000 for this, and they put their rocks underneath, right next to mine. We have 7th graders and 6th graders that are giving all of their money that they have towards this. I'm not asking them to do that. It's because they're being obedient to what God is telling them to do. It's incredible to see the faith that's rising up in this next generation. We have some pastors, Pastor Oscar from San Antonio. He said, hey, he called me up and he said, hey man, our building was given to us. And he said, so I want to be a blessing to other churches that are looking to buy and build. God has blessed us so much, so I just want to pour out the blessing back to another church. He said, and here's the deal, your church is good soil. It's a good investment. Would you please let me know how I can give? It's incredible. Pastor John from San Marcos called me up the other day. He said, I got 5 guys on my pastor's council. I've told them about what you guys are doing. We want to give to this because we've seen the fruit and we've seen God be faithful in your church. And man, it's amazing to see the miracle of what God is building at Radical. I got 5 guys. Would you mind getting a packet with all this information for all 5 of my guys so that we can talk about it some more and we'll see how we can give toward it. I said, sir, it'll be to you this afternoon. Come on now, somebody, you say amen, you know. I made sure to get that to them real quick, right? But Pastor Oscar, Pastor John, they're giving because they see that it's good soil. There was a guy in our church who was here on Friday, but I talked to him so much this last week, and he's just so pumped to give. He was so excited. He always had a smile on his face. And he told me that he was going to do it on Friday because he had talked to his CPA and moved some things around. He said, I want to make sure I put it in on Friday so it doesn't, you know, happen on Monday. I want to make sure I do it Friday morning. He said, but Pastor, no peeking. And I was like, I won't. I promise. He's like, no peeking, no early Christmas gifts for me. All right. We open on Christmas Day. All right. So he said, you got to make sure that you don't peek until the time comes when you got to count everything. And I was like, okay, I promise I won't. All right. And I said, man, you're just real excited about this. You're just so pumped to give. I said, why is that? He said, man, God's blessed our family. He's given so much back to us. And I'm excited for this vision for my kids who are going to grow up in this thing. This is a place for my kids to call home. I love this. And we just got some great people who have the same heart as David. What did David say? Who am I and who are we that we get to be so generous? Isn't this amazing, God? Everything we have comes from you. And God, we just give a little bit of it back to you today. And this is the heart that I want all of us in our church to have. Now, if you're new today, I want to encourage you. You're like, yo, what is happening right now? Okay, so I want to just speak to those of you that are new this morning. Maybe it's your first time, your second time, and you don't even know what's going on right now. The goal is for us to purchase a property, to renovate it, to build a church that God can call home right here in Kyle, Texas. There are not nearly enough churches in this area. We're one of the lowest counties per capita with churches per capita. And we want to take ground for the kingdom of God. That's what we want to do. And if you're brand new here today, I don't expect one thing from you other than just to sit back and watch people who love God and love this place give generously. And I hope that it would encourage you to see people that, oh man, these people know that God's doing something here. How can I be a part of it? That's all I encourage you to do today. This is for our church family. It's kind of more like a family meeting today. So for those of you that maybe have been here for 100 Sundays, you know, you've been here the whole time, I encourage you to lead the way today for somebody that is newer. Be a part of the miracle that God wants to do here in our church. And so what are we doing today, guys? We're bringing our first and best offering, and we're making our commitments for the next 2 years. That's a two-year initiative. There's immediate needs. We know this. What's the most immediate need? A down payment, all right? That's the most immediate one. And there's architects, there's engineers, there's all kinds of different things you got to pay for. And so there is an upfront immediate need. That's why we're saying, hey, bring your first and best offering today, but then also make a commitment for over the next 2 years. What could you do? And we've done this three-step spiritual journey: pray, listen, and obey. And we've been praying, we've been listening, and today is the day that we get to obey and do what God told you to do. My wife and I went first on Friday. Our leaders went first on Friday. And today, we finished building the altar together. And so we'll move at the speed of generosity. I've said this multiple times. As fast as we can be generous is as fast as we will move. So if it takes us 2 days, then great. If it takes us 2 or 3 months, then we'll wait until then. But we'll move at the speed of generosity. But listen, I have this holy conviction. Oh, my goodness. Oh, Lord Jesus. Let me tell you. On Friday, I came into this room and I said, did I not, Pastor Tim, that I have a holy conviction that we can get to half of our goal tonight, right? And we got to 3/4 of the goal. Come on now. I have a holy conviction today that we could surpass $1 million and we could go above and beyond. Why? Because our God is a God that goes above and beyond. He could do immeasurably more than we could ask, think, or imagine. Come on, we serve an amazing God who loves us, and we have an amazing church full of faith and full of people who are ready to give and be generous. Listen, we have an amazing consultant in this process. His name is Chad. Everybody say, hey, Chad. You're gonna watch this later, Chad. I love you. The reason why I gotta say I love you is because of what I'm about to say next, okay? So, Chad said that we could raise $800,000 to $1 million over the course of 2 years. But I'm very competitive, okay? If you don't know that about me, now you know. All right, if we're playing basketball together, and I don't care who you are, I don't care if you're a girl, I don't care if you're a child, I will swat that ball in your face and way out and say, not here, not today, uh-uh. If we're playing volleyball together and that ball comes up at the right spot, I will jump up and I will smash it directly into your face and then laugh at you while you're on the ground. I will. I'm very competitive. I want to win. I don't like to lose, okay? I don't like to lose. I like to win. And if somebody says, hey, you can do about this much, I like to be like, okay, you said 2 years. Give me 2 months. You know what? In fact, maybe 2 days. Friday and Sunday, Chad. That's all we need, baby, because we serve a radical God, and we are a radical church. Come on now. I just believe that God is going to do something powerful. Watch God do it, and watch this church rise above and beyond. Take your projections, and you can throw them in the trash, right? Because we serve an amazing God, and we're radical around here. That's just who we are. He said, but here's the deal, Pastor. This is why I love Chad, okay? He said, here's the deal. Projections are projections. That's just what they are. And they're averages because there's some that go way above and some that go way below. He said, and there are some churches that have these but God moments. He said, and I think that you guys are a but God kind of a church. And I said, you better believe we are. It's in the name. We're radical. They said that you can't launch a church during COVID, but God. Come on now, somebody. You can't get into a building after only 2 years, but God. Look at us. Where are we sitting right now? Come on, but God. You can't grow that fast and see 300 people saved in a year at a church this size, but God. Come on, somebody. Anybody excited to see the but God moments in your life and in your family and in your kids' lives, in our church and in this city, but God. This city might be lowest churches per capita. It might be a godless place, but God can save Nineveh. If he can save Nineveh, then he can certainly save Kyle, Texas. Come on, somebody. You can't raise $1 million that fast, but God, you watch it happen. Sometimes you got to get a little pumped up. Sometimes you got to get a little competitive. It's not just about the numbers. It's about seeing souls saved. I'm going to kick the devil in the teeth. I'm tired of watching him take our kids. I'm tired of him tearing families apart, seeing people in chains and addiction. I want to punch him straight in the face. One way that we could do that is by being so ridiculously generous. Oh my goodness, that people all in this area will say, God must be in that church. God has to be moving in that place. It's crazy. Have you heard the stories? I know a friend that went there. They were like this, and they started going to this church, and they started meeting people. They started getting discipled. They started finding Jesus, and they're like a completely different person now. We've shown you story after story after story this last month of exactly that. We serve a God who owns a cattle on 1,000 hills. Oh, my goodness. God can do more. So it's time today to build the altar. It's your opportunity to come and to give and to be generous. And so I just want to say thank you to all of you that are here, whether it is your first time or your 100th time. The church is not a building, it is a people. It's you, it's me, it's us. We're in this together. I'm not any different than you. My stone is here just the same as yours is, right? And I'm just honored that we get to do this together. We have a great church with great people, and we're so blessed by you. My wife and I are so blessed by each of you. We love you. So what I'd ask you for you to do today is to grab a commitment card. Grab it if you can, and then grab a stone, one per family if you can. They're under your seats. If you haven't already scuffed your shoes up on one of them, come on. Grab one stone per family if you can. Now, I know our leaders have already given. And if you're not giving anything today, listen, it's all good, all right? If you're brand new and you're like, I don't even know if I'm coming back next week, don't worry about it. It's all good. I want you to be able to worship. I want you to be able to participate. We'll have a song of worship in just a moment. I want you to grab that card and look at it and grab that stone for you and your family. We're going to pray in just a moment, but I want to give you some practical things of what we're doing here today. At the top, there's a spot that says, the total amount, okay? Because there's really two things we're doing. Today, we're bringing our first and best offering, and we're also committing over 2 years. So write the total amount that you want to give over 2 years, including today, at the top. Some of you brought your commitment cards from home, and you're like, ooh, I messed that up. I did it wrong. It's all right. Just grab another one. It's all good. We got enough. And write the total amount at the top. But then if you want to do weekly, monthly, or yearly, some people are doing like, it's crazy. Everybody has their own thing that works for them and their family. Literally, just write whatever you want on that card. It's all good. Whatever works for you. And what we're going to ask is as we do this last worship song, we're going to worship all together. And I'll ask in your own time, whenever you are ready, your family is ready, to come up, take your stone, but put your commitment card and your offering in one of these boxes. and then come over to the altar and take a second when you get here. If you want to take 15 to 20 seconds to pray here at the altar, listen, at the end of the day, I want you to have a moment with God here at the altar. It's not just about the building. It's not about money. Guys, ultimately what God wants and what I want for you is that you would give your life to Him. And when I give and when I came to this altar, I was thanking God, thank you for everything that you've done in my life. Oh man, God, you've been faithful. I cried here at the altar because I was just, thank you, God, for this, this, and this, and this. And then thank you for what I'm believing for in the future. It's not just about the building. Let it be about your family. Let it be about your kids. Let it be about the promises that God has given you as well. That as you sow into the kingdom of God, amen, I believe God's going to sow back into you and He's going to be faithful. His promises are what? Yes and amen in your life as well. So let's stand all over this place together. And it's time to finish building this thing. I'm going to pray. We're going to go into this song. And at your own time, I'd ask if you would go down the sides, the outside, and then come down through to the middle. Go down the sides and then down to the middle and then exit out of the middle so that we don't have a traffic jam anywhere. Let's all move together. And whenever you and your family are ready, you can make that move down to the outside, all right? Let me pray. Father, thank you for these families that are here. Bless them in the name of Jesus. Help them to be blessed and highly favored. God, that you would do something powerful in their life, that you would break chains of addiction in their life. God, we talked about this generational blessing and generational bondage. Would you free them from bondage and bring them blessing in the name of Jesus above and beyond what they ever think that you could do in their life? Would you do even more? And God, I thank you for our church and for these amazing people, God. I thank you for the lives that have been saved and the lives that have been changed over this last year and over these last 4 years. God, would you do it again and would you do it more, God? We want to see the city of Kyle, Texas saved, God. We want to see Hayes County saved, Lord. And let it be us that is a part of it, God. Just like Isaiah said, here am I, send me. Today we're saying, God, we are here together as this church. Would you send us out of these four walls, Lord, into our community to be a blessing, Lord, to help people see the radical love of Jesus for the first time. God, we thank you, we bless you, we worship you as we build this altar of remembrance today. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Whenever you're ready, grab your stone and come on down and meet us at the altar.
steps at the altar and every victory at the altar.
Come on, let's worship together. Let's lift it up. Come on. There's no waste at the altar.
There's no waste at the altar. Let your heart sing out and tell them you love them. Don't make it perfect, just let it be honest. He gave us all the things if that can watch him. There's no waste at the altar. Only your broken dreams at the altar. And every victory at the altar. Fear and anxiety and I live here. There's no waste at the altar. Let your heart sing out and tell them you love them. Don't make it perfect, just let it be honest. We can use anything, sit back and watch. There's no waste at the altar.
Name of Jesus. We're laying it all down at the altar, God. We give our lives to you, Lord. There's no way.
There's no way at the altar. Lay it all down. 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 There's no way at the altar.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. All day long, all I've been able to say is just thank you, Jesus. And that's really, at the end of the day, all we need to say. Amen? If you'd join me, come on, just thank Him for a second. All across this room, say thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. God, I love You. I worship You. Thank You, Father, for what You're doing in this place. Thank You, Lord, for the lives that have been changed and the lives that are going to be changed. For the children who have found friends and found hope, knowing that You're their best friend, Jesus. And that they would be able to stay with You for their entire lives, God, because of what You're doing here today. God, I thank You that You're in this place, Lord. We worship Your holy name, God. You're worthy, Lord. I pray a blessing over every family represented here. God, would You bless them, keep them. Make Your face to shine upon them. Give them peace. Give them a hope for their future, God. We love You. Come on, in Jesus' name, somebody shout amen and give God praise in this place. We love You, Lord. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. Hey, thank you so much for joining us today and being a part of building the altar. It really is not lost on me how much of a sacrifice it is for us to bring an offering to the Lord. But at the same time, you've done it so joyfully and cheerfully. And the Bible said that David rejoiced when the people gave. And I just, every service, I think I'm just going to cry and rejoice because I'm so grateful for you and thankful for you. God's going to do it. Amen. God's going to do it. God, thank you for every church member here. Thank you for every guest. It's their first time. God, thank you they got to be here today. Lord, I pray for every family, every child. Lord, I pray for new jobs in the name of Jesus. I pray for new promotions in the name of Jesus. I pray for Jehovah Jireh provision in the name of Jesus over these families. And God, I thank you that when we give, that you're faithful to take care of us, that when we sacrifice to you, that God, that you're faithful to give back and to take care of us and take care of our every need. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hey, one more time, let's give it up for Jesus. We love you. Thank you for being here today. We'll see you next week. God bless you.